thing. We have a super episode today. Episode 22, Forward Pressing. I'm Kevin. We have Yanis here.
What it do, baby?
Okay. World football is going off. It's going off right now. Everything's going crazy. Is football over? What's happening? Super League is happening. Before we get into it, I mean, this is going to be the whole episode. We're just going to talk about the Super League the whole episode because how can we not? It's the only thing that's happening right now and the only thing that matters right now.
Sorry, Mourinho fans.
Yeah, I mean, Mourinho sacked, but that basically doesn't even scratch the tip of the iceberg of everything that's happening. And we got a lot to cover. We're going to give our thoughts. Man, this is insane. I'm just going to remind everybody to follow our socials on Twitter, Forward Press Pod. And on Instagram, Forward_Pressing. We're trying to gain some followers there so we can interact with you guys a little bit more. But let's just get right into it, man. The Super League. Give me your initial thoughts. I mean, describe it for us, and then we'll get into it.
Yeah, so the European Super League, that's the official name, European Super League. What it essentially is a 20-team league. There's going to be, like, there's 12 founding clubs. That have like permanent memberships, but they can't be relegated. They're still looking for 3 more members, and there'll be like 5 annual clubs that will like qualify annually. So they'll be like invited to join based on like what they do in their domestic leagues and stuff. So of the 20 clubs, the 15 clubs that are like the 15 clubs will get a share of like $3.5 billion, I think, dollars of share between the 15 clubs. So the second you join, you get like 400+ million, basically. Essentially, that's what it is. The money comes from JP Morgan, so they're funding the entire league. So it will be two groups of 10, and then the top 4 from each team from each group goes through a knockout phase, similar to what the current Champions League is about. The president is the Florentino Perez from Madrid. The vice chairmen are the Joel Glazer from Man U, John Henry from Liverpool, Stan Kroenke from Arsenal, obviously, and Agnelli from Juventus. So the match would happen like basically in midweek. So basically they have like a Champions League schedule. So they have their games midweek and stuff. And
the big issue here is that they literally just like handpicked a bunch of quote unquote big clubs that haven't necessarily had the most success, obviously, and are just making a league of their own that they want to compete with each other in, so just so they can play big games with each other and get more money because we're playing big games. Because apparently there's not enough big games happening in the Champions League, and they want to be able to have these games on a regular basis. But it goes against everything that football fans love, right? Like
the competition will be gone. I think that's the biggest issue, is like the fact that you're basically killing competition. And not only just competition, first of all, relegation too. Like
I love the relegation system because it makes people fight until the end.
Obviously this isn't like based on US sports are different, but like when it comes to Europe and football specifically, the relegation battle is as entertaining as like the top 6 battle, the competition of the top, right? So for me, there has to be a need for like a relegation. And obviously, the argument that they're making is that from the quotes that we see around, there's obviously like a bunch of quotes just going around, right? But the idea that basically football, the big clubs lost a lot of money during COVID. Like everybody lost a lot of money during COVID, first of all. Like it's not just the big clubs, but like everybody in general lost money. But then for them, they're saying that people aren't as interested in watching the games anymore. Especially, I think for Perez, Florentino Perez basically recently mentioned like the Gen Z. So basically the 16 to 24 year olds aren't as interested anymore.
Which I don't know what he's basing that on because I think he's just pulling that out of his ass. I don't know.
Well, I mean, obviously we're Gen Z. So
we're from North America, like. Where like soccer football has already been like less popular compared to all these other American sports, but when you talk about Europe, I don't think that's true.
Absolutely. But I feel like they're trying to aim. I think the goal for them was not to aim at their local fans, but like the global fans, because Like, they, you can't, especially for football, especially, like, you can't get more fans that you already have. Like, for example,
but football is, like, already the biggest sport in the world. It's, like, the only sport that's, like, has, like, global domination where every continent has, is, like, in on it, you know?
Yeah, well, apparently, based on the what we see
they want to grow their popularity in the U.S. and North America, and they want to grow their popularity maybe in Asia, I don't know, but... I mean, when it comes down to it, it's just pure greed from all these owners. Like, we've spoke about it from our own clubs. Like, as a United fan, like, we've hated the Glazers for so long because they don't know anything about football. Man doesn't even know what the offside rule is and owns Manchester United, you know? He's just trying to make a quick buck and doesn't care about the game, doesn't care about the fans, doesn't care about the team. It's just what looks like on the balance sheet at the end of the day.
I heard this line on the recent podcast I listened to today. I don't know if you can confirm that or not, but like apparently Joel Glazer hasn't been to like Old Trafford in like 2 years.
I can't confirm that, but I wouldn't be surprised. I'd be surprised if it wasn't even longer. Like,
I mean, the source that I got it that I source that I heard it from is pretty close to United, so he would know. Like, obviously, he would know, but like. It's really telling when your guy that owns the club doesn't show up for 2 years, for 10 years.
They do not care. They do not care. He doesn't even know anything about the game, but he owns arguably one of the biggest clubs in the whole world. Like, it's just all these owners got together and were like, how can we make more money? Let's make a fucking elitist club where only the people that we choose to be in it and just play with each other, like foregoing the hundreds of years of history of all these clubs and how they came up, you know, like it's embarrassing. I was devastated and embarrassed when I heard the news that the Super League was happening and who was behind it, because obviously the Glazers were probably a big part of it. Perez leading the charge. I mean, man's been a goon for so long at Madrid.
But, you know, apparently they've been planning it in, like, secret WhatsApp groups and, like, Zoom calls that they've had in secrets between all the billionaires and the owners, which is crazy to think about. But, I mean, it is a reality. I don't know if I was, like, shocked, because we've been talking – there's been rumors about the Super League for at least a year or two now. So you've heard rumors about it. But it never went, like, this official.
I mean, it's been... I think Perez has been trying to get this to happen. It's been, like, a decade at this point. It's just... Now was... He had a reason that he could, like, use because COVID, right? Because everybody's financials have been hit hard this season. So all the people that were, like, kind of not really into it but now need to make up some money are like, fuck, like, maybe we should do it, you know? And then what happens is you have all these big clubs that started. And then you have the other big clubs being like, well, if they're going to do it, like, we can't be the only ones not in it, you know? Like, we're going to be left out. So they end up following it. And then it's just kind of like a snowball where all the big clubs end up in it. But there was 12 teams in it off the bat. The six English clubs, quote-unquote, top big six, United, Liverpool, Chelsea, Man City, Spurs, and Arsenal. Where it seemed like Chelsea and City were kind of like the last ones to agree to it. In Spain, it was Real Madrid, of course, Barca and Atletico. And in the Serie A, we have Juventus, AC Milan, Inter Milan. But Bayern and BVB off the bat said no, they do not want.
There's a reason for that.
Of course, because the clubs are 51% owned by the fans.
Yeah, 50+1 rule.
Exactly. So, like... Congrats to Germany for you know, like, sticking to the roots, you know, and just having, showing that the fans still have the power, you know. And PSG was also the other club that wasn't into it.
Now, I was just gonna ask you, what do you think PSG didn't make?
Well, so listen, I don't know. I think it's because apparently one person, like, really high up in the PSG, like, hierarchy has, like, really strong ties to UEFA. So. And I mean, like, starting the Super League is basically backstabbing the Champions League and UEFA as a whole, which the president of UEFA came out and was like, I didn't know we had so many snakes in our midst. Like, fair play to him. Like, he's not wrong.
I heard that too, but I also heard another angle. I think PSG didn't make it because they also have to think about the World Cup in 2022 and how. Obviously, PSG is owned by, like, a Qatari family, right? The retired, like, royal family and whatnot, right? So, and obviously, because of this European Super League, the FIFA and UEFA basically said that if you, everybody, any player that participates in that league would get suspended for those.
But they didn't know that beforehand. They only knew that when the Super League was announced. And then the FIFA and UEFA are reacting to it being like, all right, if you're playing in this, you're not going to be in the Premier League anymore, or your domestic league. You're not playing in the Champions League anymore. And we're banning you from all international games as well.
But I also feel like in the like behind closed doors, like they probably must have heard it before, and that's why they didn't really think about pulling. And like you said too, they've built it. They recently built. They're trying to make their relationship with UEFA even like stronger than it already is, right? So this would be a massive like. It's a backhand thing to do that right after when you're trying to build a relationship with them. So obviously, there's no interest for PSG to. I mean, there's really. And PSG has all the interest to go, but I think that they also don't have all the interest to. They also have all the interest not to go, mainly because of like not only the backlash and just because they're trying to obviously build a better relationship with FIFA and UEFA themselves. I think I want to mention the surprising or the curious American influence in there, all of these, especially the English clubs.
It really seems like they just want to like commercialize it even more and make it into a league like the American system, like. No relegation system. It's so sad because you see teams that off the beginning of the year, they don't even try to compete. They just try to lose all their games just so they can get a better draft pick because that's how the U.S. system works. And it doesn't really penalize you for finishing in last place and losing all your games. Whereas here, if you lose all your games, like you're going to the championship, like if you're in the Premier League, you know, and which is devastating. And that's why the Premier League has probably the best competition in the whole world.
I mean, I think just the fact that football in general has a relegation system makes football more competitive than like any other sports. I would say that. But like when you look at the owners, right? The Glazers owns they own the Glazers own the Bucks, recent Super Bowl champions. John Henry, the FSG Group, the Fenway Group that owns Liverpool, also owned the Red Sox. Kroenke, from Arsenal, obviously. Owns the Rams, and he moved the Rams too because they weren't in LA first, they were in St. Louis, and apparently St. Louis hated him because of that, and as they should. And then apparently there's also some American influence in Spurs, Chelsea, and even AC Milan, but I don't know any names there. I just think that is this what happens when you leave billionaires and like give them free reins to do whatever they want?
Yeah, and all our clubs have been complaining for so long that the people in charge just don't care about the game, which is the worst thing. They don't care. They don't care about the fans. They don't care about the game.
So then I guess my question now becomes, like, who do you blame for that? Because obviously, like, there's also the other aspect that, like, what they're doing is terrible, right? But they didn't get here by themselves. Somebody led them into the game, in the system. So, I mean, I'm talking about FIFA and UEFA, right?
I mean, money talks.
Yeah, money talks. But how much blame do you think like FIFA and UEFA get in all this? Because I feel like they're partly responsible for this situation.
Well, what can they do? Like, they can't stop transactions from happening like that, can they? Like, if it's all legit.
Well, why not? I mean, it's legit, right? It's legit. But at the same time, like, do you have to give them this much freedom, this much reign to do whatever they want, right? Because if we're talking about football as a community and like football is like a sport for the fans and whatnot, I mean, every sport is, right? But if we're talking for football specifically, like, shouldn't every league have a 50+1 rule then?
Yeah. And I think it's really going to make UEFA reconsider some of these rules and stuff they have placed, like increased regulations, maybe. I hope, like, but I also hope that it shows them that they can't be complacent with the system and they have to start making things better in the system that's already in place so everybody can be happy, you know? Make it like a super league in itself. Like, that was just dumb and it was just pure greed. Like, we don't want that. But there are complaints with the current systems in place, and if they take it upon themselves now as a reality check and be like, we need to make things a little bit better, that'd be great. I mean, I like people were saying, like, it's just insane the backlash that the Super League got ever since it came out. Imagine if we all felt the same way about like the racism issues in the leagues and everything like that. Like, it'd be much different. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just
okay. The energy has you have to keep the same energy.
I mean, it's just it just shows that like what's important to them, right? Because UEFA aren't angels in this either, right? Like, or haven't been angels this whole time, you know?
Yeah, I mean, UEFA is also like, if we're gonna go to the racism part, like UEFA hasn't done much either. What happened in Spain? Both players got suspended, right? The Jacabi and the other guy was suspended. Were both suspended for like obviously not the same amount of games, but I just to say that UEFA isn't like, yeah, you, like you said, UEFA isn't like cleaning all of this as well. When it comes to those type of issues, they didn't really do much. Recently there's been talk about FIFA and the workers, like a ridiculous amount of workers dying in the construction of the Qatar World Cup. Yet FIFA is still, we're still doing the World Cup in Qatar, right? So there's, FIFA isn't cleaning all of this as well. It's, neither is UEFA, by the way. Corruption has been going into UEFA for years and years and decades. And I mean, there's been so many leaks about like those type of corruption, and it's not like we've done anything about it. So it's to now go around and say that UEFA is like, and FIFA are like to blame or not to blame for this. I think it would be hypocritical from us to say that they're not like partly responsible. So I do feel like this is an opportunity for everybody or every governing body really to sort of understand that, all right, we all messed up. This shouldn't happen. This should have never happened. We should have never got to that point. That we got to that point because of us, because of the rules that are in place, right? Now, I mean, there's got to be changes. There's got to be massive changes. How do you improve the game without obviously losing what the game is all about? I think that might be my question. Because money is always going to be a part of the game.
Yeah. I mean, I think there just needs to be new financial regulations. I think there needs to be new. I think at the end of the day, we need to not forget, like we'll get into how this Super League situation is playing out right now today, because I think everything's kind of going down, but it's kind of like, we need to not forget who are the people that tried to do this, who are the people that are the problem. The problems aren't with the players and the manager, you know, it's with the owners, right? And it's the, at the end of the day, it's the owners that get greedy, is the owners that ruin everything. And there needs to be regulations that affect them.
The players weren't even aware of this. Like, it came as a shock to everybody. I think there was a quote from Arteta saying that he didn't know about it.
No, most of these players, and the players have no idea. The managers probably only found out either right before the announcement or at the announcement. Like, it's actually insane. And what's craziest to me is the timing of it. Why are you releasing this now, like right in the middle of the season?
During COVID.
Like, I mean, I don't mind during COVID because, like, the world still goes on, right? But, I mean, like, the season isn't over. There's still, like, 8 games to be played in most leagues. There's still the Champions League semifinals, the Europa League semifinals, the finals, like, why not just wait until the end of the season when everything's done and make your UEFA Super League announcement, European Super League announcement, you know? Like,
to answer your question to why now, that's why I said COVID, because there's nobody in the stands to actually stand against it. There's nobody is in the stadiums, right? There's no fans. So for them to put this out there right now, they know that there won't be as big of a backlash as they would be if the fans were in the stadiums themselves.
For sure, but do they not know how social media works? Because as soon as they announced it, social media, like, went off. It blew up. The whole world was involved and knew what was happening.
Yeah, but at the same time, too, did you know that Man U and Juve are, like, on the stock market? So you can actually, like, buy stocks of those clubs?
Yeah, and the stocks skyrocketed.
Yeah, they went up.
Even the Juve stock skyrocketed. Like,
yeah, the video that I sent you like yesterday was the video of that lady that showed the Juve stocks going up and whatnot. So I mean, that tells me that
it just proves that this was for the money, right? Like, the money, this was always about the money, and it was only about the money. And Perez last night was in an interview going off about all these things, and he said, football needs to evolve. People weren't happy about the changes we had like decades ago when we were implementing some of these changes, and it's going to be the same reception here, but ultimately we're trying to save football. He's not trying to save football, he's just trying to save his club. They're almost a big, $1 billion in debt. No, it's just it's embarrassing that he's trying to hide behind the facade of we're doing this for the good of football. You know, we're trying to save everybody by taking a handpicked 12 teams into a league that they can only play between themselves with no. It basically sounds like a friendly tournament, you know, for throughout the year just for money.
Yeah, and apparently from what I saw as well, like they're trying to make that tournament global. So there would be games in like Asia, North America, and yeah, I think they're saying like some of the Qatar countries as well. So it sounds like a friendly tournament. It doesn't sound serious at all to me.
But
like, which is, I mean, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Sorry, I was interrupting you.
No, I mean, I was gonna go I was gonna talk about like, you know how we saw like Gary Neville and Gary Carragher and basically coming out and basically going like vehemently like being against it, right? But aren't TV networks the same that were basically trying to overcharge people to watch games last season?
Yep.
So I don't know. I feel it's ironic. I mean, people, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on here, to be fair. Like I was pissed about it too, but then you sleep on it and
charging us like $15 a month so we can watch West Brom versus Sheffield, you know, like it's.
I mean, it really doesn't really affect us as much as it would affect the UK, the real local.
But it's right? Just I don't know how you can like it's just I guess I can see how COVID hurt everybody's pockets and they're all trying to find a way that they can make some money out of it, but it's just at some point you have to have some integrity, you know.
I think for me the bottom line is on paper. On paper, right? And I'm saying on paper, I'm going to say it again. On paper, it looks like a good idea. But realistically, it doesn't make sense to me.
If it was a league based on merit, like that you had to win a spot in your domestic league to get in there, I could get more behind it. If there was some sort of competition, if there was no guaranteed spot with zero risk of losing your spot, you know? But it's just, it's
based on who the richest clubs are, the biggest brands.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a branding thing. It's a global thing. It's who the biggest brands are local on a global scale. But like honestly, I don't need to see eight Clásicos a year.
It takes away the fun out of it. If you dilute it with too many of these games, then it makes it doesn't become special anymore.
Yeah, like the North London derby is fun or is interesting because it's a big derby. It doesn't happen every time. It's a big game. People are hyped about it. People talk about it weeks before. If you take that away and bring the games and make those games like consistently every week or every 2 weeks or whatever, it takes away the hype about it. It takes away the competition. It takes away the importance of the game. So yeah, I'm sure people would watch, right? I'm not even gonna lie to you. If this actually happens, I'm gonna watch. But I'm gonna lose interest very, very fast.
Yeah, because there's nothing to play for.
There's no point. There's no relegation. There's nobody loses point. What's the point of points anyways at this point? There's no point. There's no point of having a point system because it doesn't matter. You're all getting your money anyways. So yeah, I mean it's a crazy situation. It is going mad. It's even crazier now that with the recent news that we heard, that we just saw.
Yeah. So let's get into the recent news because we talked about this. This happened on the 18th, right? The Super League announcement happened and the whole world turned on it. And Perez last night was saying the club signed a contract. If you sign this contract, there's no way that you can pull out, right? And then they said that he also was kind of trying to appease the stuff that the FIFA and UEFA were saying, where they were saying like, oh, we're going to kick you out of the Champions League. We're going to kick you out of the domestic leagues. All the players won't be able to compete in the World Cup or any international games. And then he basically said, yeah, that's impossible. It's not going to happen. 100%, it's not going to happen. So just like, don't worry about it kind of thing. And then this morning, a couple hours ago, everything just blew up. So there was rumors last night that Chelsea and Man City are kind of like really not happy about all the backlash that was happening. And since they were like, kind of the last ones to kind of accept the offer, apparently. And then Chelsea just announced that they're pulling out of the Super League. They're going to try to start the documentation to pull out of the Super League. So we'll see how that goes. And then right after, Man City, the same thing. And then that was just a snowball effect. Everything, everybody was kind of announcing. So if I can, do you want me to go over all the teams that I made an announcement?
Yeah, yeah, go ahead, go ahead. I was going to do it, but go ahead, go ahead.
Go for it.
So yeah, so man, you mentioned Chelsea, you mentioned City. Now we heard that Barca is out, or wants out, really. And Atletico Madrid also wants out. So these are, I mean, that's...
There's more. So Barca, the president, I think, made the announcement saying, like, we're going to pull out because this is the fans' decision, and we would only enter it if the majority of the fans or the majority of like the public want us to. So basically, they're pulling out. And then right after that, so that was four teams, and then Manchester United said they're pulling out.
Really?
Yeah.
You're joking. United pulled out.
We'll leave the Europa League, European Super League soon. The source is pretty reputable as well. And I think Arsenal said they're going to pull out as well. And now it seems like the majority of the Super League teams, so over six of them, have decided to pull out. And they're going to meet tonight. And it's basically the Super League's done.
Okay, but that doesn't make any sense, though. What was the point of all this, then?
I think the backlash was so strong. That, like, it just goes to show that the fans really do have a strong voice.
So, was this all just for show? Was it just a warning to you?
No, it wasn't for show. I mean, listen, I don't know how Perez is going to feel about it, because is he going to force these clubs to keep their contract when they don't want to be there anymore? And force them to stay in and force this league to happen? Like, if most of the people don't want to be there, there's no way, right?
Okay, so if what you're saying is accurate, right? Because I just saw the Arsenal one. I didn't see the Man U one, but I'm gonna go with what you said, right? So United is out, City's out, Chelsea's out, Arsenal is out, Barca is out, Atletico's out. So that leaves Juve, Inter, and AC, Spurs, Liverpool.
No, Spurs is out as well. Spurs are out as well.
Spurs are out as well?
Yeah.
So that leaves Liverpool and the three Italian teams and Real Madrid. You can't have a league.
No, it's done. It's the Super League is done. And this is literally all happened because of the fans.
I mean, okay, so then what does that mean? Was that a warning? They had to be expecting this backlash. They knew this was going to happen. So... Was it a warning to UEFA, basically saying, telling them that, okay, we can leave whenever we want, and there has to be changes.
I mean, let's be careful, because I think right now, like, a lot of these announcements are kind of like word of mouth. Nothing has been confirmed from the clubs yet, I believe. I think I didn't see anything from the clubs besides the Chelsea and the Barca announcement. But I mean, you have to believe.
I saw the Arsenal one through AFTV, so I'm gonna believe the Arsenal one.
Exactly. I mean, like, most of these are coming from like sources of sources, but I think it's gonna be fair to say that it's kind of like the Super League is done, and it's all because, I mean, there was protests in the streets, like there was riots in the streets already in England especially. But wow, like, what a roller coaster! I mean, this whole thing came out. I was devastated when I heard the Super League news, because I thought, like, Manchester United not in the Premier League anymore, not in the Champions League anymore, and playing the stupid Super League. Like, it's embarrassing. And then 2 days later, the backlash from the fans on social media in person was just so strong, so loud. The whole world kind of turned on it. It just goes to show that doing this in secret without consulting anybody is really not the way to go, especially knowing how bad everybody did not want it.
I don't know how much more we can talk about this, but I just feel like with the recent developments that we just heard, to me, it seems like this was sort of a warning to UEFA, to FIFA, to say that, okay, there has to be changes, and we're not going to put up with it more longer than this. Like, if we're assuming that this is good, those clubs are all pulling out, right? That means that football won. That means that the people won, right? It also means that UEFA and FIFA won as well, which doesn't sound right to me, because UEFA and FIFA are as responsible.
Oh my God. Wait.
What's up?
Okay, TalkSport just tweeted, I don't have the sources, but this is what the breaking news is.
Disbanding the Super League.
I mean, yeah, I mean the disbanding the Super League thing is going everywhere right now, but it's also, they said Ed Woodward has resigned as chairman of Manchester United. Woodward's decision comes after backlash over the European Super League.
Whoa.
I don't know if this, they didn't cite a source. They said, talk sports sources understand.
Ed Woodward is leaving United?
Yeah, I mean, that makes me so happy. Glazer's out next, but I mean, wow.
Like, okay, this is a lot. We gotta make sure about the sources because we don't want to be too wrong here.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying, wow. Let this be a world football cleanse of everybody that's just in it for pure money and greed. I mean, it is a business at the end of the day, but as long as you have the wishes of the fans as your first priority, like, my God, I don't even know. It's hard for me to formulate words right now following everything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much more we can talk about this. I would just say that at the end of the day, like, it is a business, but business can, like, take over what the game is all about. Bruh, that's a lot. This is a lot.
I mean, this has been such a roller coaster. Like, listen, we're going to end the episode soon, but make sure to follow us on social media, ForwardPressPod, and on Instagram, Forward_Pressing, because we're going to be talking about this most definitely as everything unfolds, and it's going to be insane. I mean, wow, what else?
Nah, but I am lost for words, bro. Everything is happening so quickly, too.
I mean, I just want to say I'm happy if all this actually ends up happening, because I'm sure Perez will try to fight it in some way and try to convince these clubs to stay or hold them to their contracts or whatnot. But I just hope that we're able to finally get this done and over with and go back to our good football. Like, I don't know.
Okay, I would say this. I don't think we can go back to the what football is, because there was still a lot of mistakes. There's still a lot of issues in the football.
Most definitely.
I think this is an opportunity to, like, go progressively and improve the league, but the right way. I think that's what I would say.
It really does.
Man, I don't know what else. I don't know what else to say, bro. This is a lot.
Man, all right. Episode 22, Super League episode in the books. Hope we'll probably definitely have some Super League to talk about next week. We have on Sunday. There's the FA Cup final. No, the Carabao Cup final, right? Carabao Cup final. Wow. I mean, listen, we're going to end it here. Final words.
Arsene Wenger called it.
10 years ago, he called it. He said.
The Godfather called it.
Put some respect on Wenger's name.
But yeah, that's all.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. What a wild episode. I feel like this was so frantic, but it was just recording this while everything's happening. It's actually insane. It started 2 days ago and it's already over. What a ride. All right, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for rocking with us.
Peace.